Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Hi, Rashida.
Hey, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good too. It's been not a lot of sleepless nights, so I'd say I'm doing fabulous, actually.
Oh, jealous. Well, I feel like we should just get right into what we're doing today. How about you?
Sounds amazing.
Okay, so we have a wonderful guest with us today. Christine McGlinchey Yap is a former career-driven millennial who transitioned her leadership skills from fast-paced corporate America to become an author, intuitive, mentor, and mother. That all sounds so familiar, by the way, who helps women heal core wounds to conceive the life of their dreams. With the birth of her daughter, a community was also born. Om Mama seeks to bring back the village to motherhood through intentional workshops, conversations, and community. Here she helps women heal and reclaim the divine role of motherhood by empowering them to make choices that align with their mind, body, and spirit. In 2020, she released her first book, Mantras, Mantras for Mindful Moms, available now on Amazon. She is certified in the soul reading method, just like me and Shida. A women's circle facilitator, hypnobirthing educator, and a guide in ancestral healing and womb wellness. Hi, Christine. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you here. We always start with the same question. So what we'd love to ask you is, what is spirituality to you?
Oh, man, that's a great question. To me, spirituality is anything that you need it to be. I mean, there's so many different dimensions, modalities of spirituality, and I think it's really a significant thing. And what's immediately coming up for me is the death and rebirth cycle. I mean, if you allow spirituality to be a guide, right, rather than okay, I'm gonna go off on a little tangent here, but in terms of like Western patriarchal spirituality, right, where we have religion and it's very masculine, spirituality for me is more of that, what you need it to be, how it honors you, your ancestors, but also your own unique soul's path. So it can be anything. Spirituality can be nature, it can be movement, it can be conversation. Spirituality isn't meant to be structured or defined. It's more of like a lifestyle or like a way of life.
I love that answer so much. When you said it cannot be defined, it's so interesting because as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, because that's why no matter who we ask this question to, it is always different. And I love how you said that, you know, spirituality can be your guide in the death and rebirth cycle. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're always going through these cycles and it's like part of the human experience, you know, that shedding of our old identities and layers and the conditioning only to come through with something else in each iteration of who we are. But really using your spirituality as a guide to do that. And that's why it's such an intimate process and an intimate thing. And it's never the same. We can all use certain like divination tools and different things like that. But even how like three of us read, right? It's completely different because, you know, it's our different experience with source and the divine. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciated that like answer. It was really great.
Thank you. I was like, was that an answer? What?
We do that a lot too. We're like, but no, I could tell you were like, it was really coming from the heart and you were really feeling this answer. So it really came through for me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For sure. And everyone talks about like the individual experience, which I think is so important to like really break free of the dogma and the patriarchy that we grow up with. And a lot of times the world of spirituality can start to mirror or mimic the like Western patriarchal religious community. So I think it's really important that we practice discernment and that we have these conversations about how it can look so many different ways. So thank you for stating that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd love to know, Christine, you talk about in your bio how the birth of your daughter also was the birth of this like new era in your business. Would you tell that story?
Absolutely. So my daughter really was the catalyst for my entrepreneurial journey, but also I wouldn't say she was the first of my rebirths. She was definitely a part of like a bigger awakening. My daughter for me was like really a part of my divine feminine awakening. And in that, I was really called to pursue my higher purpose, my higher passions. And so as soon as I found out that I was pregnant, I immediately knew this was my opportunity to leave my corporate job and really start a fresh beginning, one that I've always wanted. And so I was on maternity leave and I put my resignation in. I was a corporate publicist for over 12 years. And everyone thought I was crazy, of course, like leaving this corporate job. Like I was like next in line for promotions and I had a lot of stability. Of course, I was making really good money. But for me, it wasn't about any of that. It was about what kind of life do I want to live? What kind of mother do I want to be? Do I want to be the woman or the mother who, and no judgment in any of this, everyone's path is so different. Everyone's path is so unique. But in my heart of hearts, in my soul, I just knew that path wasn't mine of like traveling and working for 16 hours, being the mom who just came home just to see her child in bed. You know, that really was so heartbreaking for me to envision a life like that. And so I set off on my entrepreneur journey when my daughter was 2 weeks old, not really knowing what I was doing, to be honest. Like no one in my family is an entrepreneur. Like I'm a first generation American. So my family, of course, was like, you don't have health insurance, you don't have a 401k, like you don't have an income coming in, like what's going on? Because that's the American dream. You know, you go into a career and you live and die by it. That's your identity. That's your role in society. You assimilate, you keep your head down. And what I was doing was very different my whole life, you know, and I see it in my clients. Like there are ones who are chosen to break the cycles in their lineage. There are the ancestors who are the guardians of the lineage who are meant to stop repeating these patterns so that we can move forward, not only as a lineage, but also as a collective society of people and humanity. So I was doing what I knew how to do. I always tell my clients, like, this is the bridge, you know, the bridge to what's next. You use your skill set and you make it work. So I was consulting for a lot of small businesses. I was, you know, still doing PR and marketing stuff. And then COVID happened. And yeah, exactly. And, you know, my daughter at the time when we were in lockdown was about, gosh, she might have been 6 months old or so at the time. And, you know, of course, everything changed, right? For all of us. And even being an entrepreneur and a first-time mom, I just felt the shift too of like, I left my corporate job, but I'm still operating in the same masculine way that I was in corporate America. I was still feeling overwhelmed. I was still feeling burnt out. Nothing had really changed, even though my role and my job changed. The energy never shifted. So when COVID happened and it was kind of like, oh, we get to slow down. We get to take this sacred pause, right? Even though there was a lot of fear in it, it was also kind of like, we were able to stop, reflect, and breathe instead of like, keep going, keep going, keep going. And Nikki Novo at the time opened up her program. At the time, it was called Soul Teacher. And I was like, I have no idea what this is. She was like, I need like 10 people to be my guinea pig. And I was like, sign me up.
I am not doing anything else right now.
Right. Like, what else is there to do? You know, I was like just fascinated. So, of course, I was like, sign me up, put me in, coach. And, you know, from there, I was like, wow. Like, and, you know, we all share the similar experience of like, holy shit, you know, like this is what I've been able to do this whole time. Like, it was just an instant, like, soul remembering. I was like, I've been doing this for lifetimes. But I never allowed myself to. I never gave myself permission to. And that alone just like opened up everything else. Like if you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be here talking to you today about spirituality and spirit babies and soul rememberings and awakenings, I would have thought you were probably crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like, me? No way. Right? And I think that's such the interesting thing about life and humanity, honestly. Like the identity association and being in the patriarchal structures of like, and even the layers of ancestral healing and wounds that we all collectively carry and individually, what are we allowed to do? So going back to your question, Lauren, I feel like my daughter allowed me to truly be who I always was. The entire time. It was kind of like, she was like, all right, mom, like you could take off your costume now. Like it was cute, but like put on your real clothes. You know, it was like one of those moments.
Yeah. I love that so much. And it's not exactly the same, but it really reminds me of my story. Like my daughter was like seriously my catalyst for change, for transformation and growth. And for me, it was the same thing. You know, I don't want to sit here 40 plus hours a week. I was a manager at the time, but mm-hmm. more than 40 hours a week to pay someone to watch my kid. It just didn't feel right for right. me.
Exactly.
And just the grief and the sadness that I felt about that time, I knew I had to do something different. I know you could have asked you the same exact thing, Christine. If you would have asked me then that I would be sitting here with a bestie like Lauren and having spirituality conversations with so many amazing people, I would have said, in what lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. So I would love to know, when you were really like sitting with yourself and then, you know, you took this course, do you think it was like the fact that your intuition just came online? Because I know in my process and in my journey, I second guessed myself a lot, mm-hmm. you know, just stripping away all of those layers. How about you? Like, was it when your intuition came online, were you just like, I don't give a fuck what anyone says, like I'm doing this thing.
To be completely honest with you, I look back now and I see all the ways in which I was being prepared for it, right? Like, and that's the thing, like trusting in the timing, because each of us, right? We started somewhere. It wasn't like this our entire lives. And from what I see in my work are like three really big initiations in a woman's life. And this is what I've noticed in the 4 years that I've been doing the intuitive work and the energy healings is, you know, it's almost like the heroine's journey, right? But for me personally, and what I see in my clients is like, there's a spiritual awakening that occurs that sets you on the path of spirituality, of modality, of curiosity. And then there's this divine awakening, this divine feminine awakening, I'm sorry, that gets you more in tune to your needs, to your expression, to self, to that uprising energy. And then there's this, you know, like matriarchal awakening. And whether or not, you know, motherhood looks so differently for everyone. Whether or not you intentionally or consciously choose to become a mother in this lifetime through birth, you know, there's so many ways that the mother archetype shows itself. But I find
Agreed.
That, yeah, you know, it doesn't have to look like, you know, societal expectation of motherhood, right? It can be adoption, surrogacy. It could be not choosing to be a mother at all, you know? And so it really began with my spiritual awakening when my father passed away. I was 24 years old, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he was given 6 months to live. And in that time, I'm no stranger to death. Like, I grew up, like, death and birth has been like a huge part of my experience from when I was very young. But this, you know, the loss of a parent, it jars you. It really truly illuminates mortality for you in a way that you've never considered before. And that awakening was really the first step of my process where I truly looked in the mirror and I was like, whose life are you living? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you really doing? Because my dad, one of the last conversations we had, I'll never forget, you know, of course, but he told me, you know, the purpose of life is to live life and be happy. So simple, right? So simple, but it's so complicated to do that. Oh, sure. Yeah. Live life and be happy. Yeah. Okay. Rainbows and unicorns, right? But I was like looking at my life and I was like not living my life because I was living the life that everyone expected of me. Like, I even coming into PR, I was a writer, an intern at a magazine, and my editor literally told me, writers don't make money. You need to become a publicist. Publicists make money. And sure, you can write as a publicist. The very next day, I went into my college admissions office and I changed my major from journalism to public relations, not even knowing what the hell PR was. And then I got a job in corporate at 19. My mom was so happy because I had health insurance and a 401k. You know, I was getting promotion after promotion, but I was so miserable. I was depressed. I was anxious. I went through like a stage of toxic positivity where literally I was like blasting affirmations in my car on the way to work because that's the only way I could function, you know? So I was spiraling. And then on top of that, like my relationships mirrored that. Like, I was in a really toxic, emotionally and verbally abusive relationship that I just settled for because I didn't think that I was worth better. I was scared. I didn't want to be alone. And so when my dad was sick, I was like, oh my God, like, life is short, right? And I'm not happy. And so I set off on a course to leave that job, to leave that relationship. And from there, I started choosing me. And I think that's the most important choice that you can ever make, but it's also the scariest, to literally push against the grain of everything that you know and of everyone around you. But that day I chose me and I never looked back. And even now as a mother, I still choose me. Mm-hmm. And I see the difference when I don't. You know, in those moments of like those boundaries or those people pleasing, when like my people pleaser wants to make an appearance, I'm like, no, I choose me. And it helps.
I love that so much because it, I don't know, I always feel like things just come full circle, you know, back to us like really stepping into realizing and learning and working through what we came here to do, our actual purpose. You know, when you say, I choose me, I chose me. And a lot of people may think that, yes, it's hard to do that, but I know you probably had to like work through a lot in choosing you. You had to figure out actually what it was you actually wanted, right? And like
who am I?
Who am I? Go through that, you know, test something out, do these different things. And I think that's where the scary part is when we decide to choose ourselves, right? We find ourselves in different situations and we're trying different hats on and we're like, oh, well, maybe they were right. Maybe I wasn't meant to be this or to do this. But it's so important to have that self-exploration stage and like actually figuring out what and who I am and what I really want to do in this world. Because you're right. It's easy to say, you know, be happy. But what does happiness even mean? Because my happiness can be something completely different for you, Christine. Like, it's one of those things. And when we go through life basing our life and what we should do off of everyone else and their expectations, we kind of like lose ourselves. And it almost feels like that's what was going on with you. You know, you were losing yourself and your highest self, who I feel like communicates through our emotions, was like, really like, hello, like, come on, sis, like, let's do this thing. Right. So thank you so much for for sharing that story. And I feel like a lot of our listeners can probably definitely relate to what you were saying. But yes, I choose me.
Christine, I love how you're talking about these different phases that your clients go through, and there's the awakening, and then there's like the awakening to the divine feminine, which for me has definitely been a huge part of my life. I even have a book that, as of this airing, just came out about like how to embrace your sacred feminine. And for me, it's like a big unlearning more than a learning. Like when you said, be happy. And like Rashida said, like most people don't even really know what that is. It's not this fleeting feeling. Like, how do you live a life that brings contentment, that brings passion, that brings purpose? And yeah, I think that takes like getting to know yourself, and that takes stripping down like so much of what we're taught in our lives. And I love that moment that for women and for everyone, but that moment where you're just like, well, who actually am I, and what do I want, and what does a happy life look like for me? Because it's going to look a lot different for other people. So Christine, I'd love to know, what is the process that you take your clients through? Tell us more about that.
Oh, sure. So there's different aspects of my business. So there's an aspect of my business that is all about entrepreneurship and conscious business. So helping, I work primarily with women, but women who similarly, right, like us, want to leave their corporate careers. How does that look? How do I transition? For me, when I transitioned in my business, again, I had no mentors. I had no role models. So for me, it was just like deep diving into research, surrounding myself with expanders who did the things that I wanted to do to start a business. And that's really what I try to hold space for in my membership space, Birthing Your Business, where it's literally everything you need to know to do to start a business practically, right? Like, how do I actually incorporate a business? How do I choose my email provider? Like, how do I choose my calendar system? You know, it's a lot about the systems, but also the energetic work, because starting a business also comes with a lot of baggage. Like, I went through a whole year of healing my money wound and my trauma. Like, I literally was like, in the beginning, I could not accept payment for stuff. I was like, I'll do it for free, or like, I'll do it at a discount, you know? And I was like, what are you doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys can relate to it. It's like, what do I charge for this? And I'm like, literally, it's because I come from a generation of people who are too generous with their money because they felt bad for having more than other people did. And there's just so many layers. So in my business program, I teach a lot about the energetics of business, identifying your motherhood wound. Because even that, like the ancestral stuff comes in your business. If you don't feel worthy, inherently worthy of like helping someone, serving them, or receiving their money, then it's going to be it's going to be a big struggle for you. And these are things that took me a year to learn, that if I'm like, if I could pass this on to other people and it won't have to take them a year, they could just be like automatically, okay, I'm starting my business. Let me look at my money wound. Let me look at my worthiness wound. Like, let me look at my rituals, my practices. How am I energetically calling clients in? How am I like stating my branding, my communication, so that I'm energetically holding space for people? So that's what I do with my work in business. That's really important to me. I really love those containers and like helping other women, because I think it's so needed too, that these conscious businesses happen. And we're, because how many times do we see like spiritual or like wellness professionals perpetuating the same cycles of masculinity, honestly, and like advertising that's like so masculine and like forcing people and controlling people and the manipulation. And I feel like if we come from a heart-centered place in business, that's going to do so much more. And I'm sure we've seen like in the coaching industry, especially since COVID happened, a lot of that, the manipulation, like start a business and make 10K in the first month. I'm like, okay, that sounds great, but guess what? Not everyone can get there, because all of us come from a different ancestral background and a relationship to money that's just not feasible to be making 10K months off that, you know? So that's my work that I really love with business. The more people who can be super connected to their purpose, but also really intentional about service over profits, I feel like is where we're really shifting in society. For my clients who are on the conscious conception or motherhood side, I do spirit baby readings, and I see a lot of really interesting patterns with that. So I've been doing the spirit baby readings for probably 3 years now, and I serve women all over the world. Sometimes they come to the readings with their partners, and gosh, it's just such a special thing. And honestly, like, I never went into my business thinking that I would be doing this. It's just once you're like open and receptive to literally like, what am I meant to do? How am I meant to serve? Like, it will just show, like, the universe will just show you the way. So, like, I was doing my business stuff primarily for the first 2 years. Like, it was not in, well, everything I always did was intuitive. I'm sure all of us, like, we were always intuitive our entire lives, but it was just being intentional about it and more conscious about it. So I shifted into conscious business. And then one day I had a client who was like, can you do spirit baby readings? And I said, you know what? And I was already familiar with spirit babies. I had read the book. You know, I do mediumship. And I was like, I would love to like try. Like, I haven't before, but I would love to try. And that kind of just like opened up the floodgate for everything else in terms of like womb healing and even noticing like these three stages of awakening that kind of happen in a woman's journey. And so with my motherhood clients, it's a lot about that healing into motherhood. The more that we could consciously prepare for what motherhood looks like, it sets us up, honestly, for like a better world. Because it's not even about becoming a mom. It's about becoming a woman in so many ways, you know? And because our feminine energy has been so suppressed and oppressed over history and timelines, culturally, collectively. And so with a lot of my clients who are looking to conceive, who are on their second round of IVF, who are looking at motherhood from a solo point of view, they don't have a partner, but they want to do IVF on their own or have a sperm donor. It's just really interesting to see like the purpose stuff come up, the ancestral wounds coming up. It's usually really deeply rooted traumas or wounds that we're kind of like concealing and covering up. And over time, we kind of just sweep things under the rug and then they become like huge energetic blocks. And then we end up with the fibroids, the endometriosis, you know, the physical symptoms of it, because we're holding on to these emotions and the baggage. So a lot of the time we're just talking through all of these things, what is needed for you to heal. And sometimes it's expression. I don't feel like I could express my needs. I don't feel like I can express my desires. I don't know what makes me happy. And a lot of the spirit babies that are coming through in our society are really high vibrational beings because they're here to set society up for the future. And so they require much more from us as vessels, and even from the fathers, not only mothers, but a lot of the time it's not the mother, but we take on that role, right? Like, oh, I can't conceive, so something's wrong with me. And it's really the partner has ancestral healing, ancestral work. He doesn't feel good enough to be a dad, so the baby's not coming through. A lot of it is structural and foundational elements. So, you know, that involves a lot of healing. And that's where my women's circles comes in and one-on-one healings and mentorship.
Thank you so much for sharing all that. I was wondering, because I always like to come from a lens of like newly into spirituality. Mm-hmm. We all know what a spirit baby is, but could you talk about that a little bit so our listeners who are unfamiliar with that term know exactly what you're talking about?
Absolutely. I honestly have a unique take on spirit babies because I think it's so important that we look to the past in order to inform and heal into our future. So for me, what feels really resonant is looking at a spirit baby as your future ancestor. And so what do ancestors do? What do ancestors want from us? They want to move the lineage forward. And again, not from from an individual perspective, sure, but also collectively. Like, each of our ancestors and our lineages want us to be better than the generation before us, because that's how humanity evolves and ascends. So in an ancestral lineage, you're going to have an elder ancestor, and you're also going to have a guardian of the lineage. So many of us who are called to this work and who are actively doing it and can identify as the black sheeps in your family will usually typically be the guardian of your lineage that is meant to break the cycles that have been repeated and essentially create a new line moving forward. So your children will be future ancestors who are going to be different from who they came from and who came before them. They're going to have a different perspective, a different lens. They're going to have a different set of needs and desires. They're going to be higher vibrational. They're going to be higher frequency, more empathetic, highly sensitive, super intuitive. So a spirit baby is in the spirit realm, and they're a soul who is waiting to be reincarnated. And nothing is black and white. There are so many different layers to everything. And even though I've been doing this for 3 years and I've had hundreds of readings, I still am surprised by the messages that come through to this day. It's every reading is different. And so to get on the metaphysical level of it, some of these babies haven't experienced any current, like this is their first time on Earth. They're star seeds, they're star beings. Some of them, you know, have had past lives with us or with you. Some spirit babies are very particular about a certain lineage that they're trying to be birthed through. Others are just looking for a specific set of criteria. So maybe it's not about the ancestral lineage, but it's more about the criteria to get them into their most aligned path or contract. So when we're thinking about spirit babies, we want to keep in mind that they have their own contract. We have our own contract. And whoever your partner or means or method of conception, they're going to have their own contract as well. And it's all about the divine timing, alignment, and the checklist. Because we also have free will. So even though, like, Rashida, I might see a spirit baby around you, but you're like, nah, Christine, like, I'm done. Like, I'm not having any more kids. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, the spirit baby, there's no judgment in the spirit realm. So even if you've had an abortion, if you've terminated a pregnancy or so forth, there's no judgment. They're literally just looking at, I need to get my criteria fit. And even to some degree, that's what we did with our parents, right? We're looking for a certain lens, a certain criteria in order to fulfill whatever our unique purpose and mission is. So we're looking for the people who help us get there, the guides.
I love that so much. I feel like I keep loving everything you're saying. I'm just vibing with it. I always wondered that aspect of it, actually, because, you know, my husband and I talked. We're good at two. And I like the fact that you said, you know, the spirit realm, it doesn't have a judgment. It thinks that you are going to be the best channel to be birthed into this world. And if you say no, then we all have free will, then no. And they might hang around maybe for a little bit, but then move on. Right. So, oh, thank you. I know I had another question, but I forgot. Lauren, do you have anything that I could think about what I wanted to ask?
Yeah, we recently had another guest on who does not spirit baby readings, but she does like mommy and me readings. And yeah. It was definitely super interesting. And she talked about like the new earth children is what she was calling them. Mm-hmm. You're talking about these spirit babies and new souls being like really high vibrational. I'd love to talk about a couple of things. So one is like, why are they coming through with this high vibration? And two, if you are a parent to one of these high vibrational children, what are some ways to help nurture that?
Right. Okay. I love that. So why are they coming through? It's a few, of course. So nothing is going to be linear or black and white. We ourselves, as a society, as a collective humanity, are ascending. We're rising. More is required of us from the earth, from each other. More healing, more awakening is happening. You know, we're moving into a more matriarchal or feminine energy, whereas, you know, we've been healing a lot of the masculine and the patriarchal stuff. So we're moving into a more feminine energy because that's what we need in order to like survive as a species, honestly. So for instance, a lot of these like star beings who are coming through that I communicate with are here. You know, they're the builders. They're the ones. And if you want to look at, if you want to look at it from a perspective of like millennials, we're here to like deconstruct, right? We're here to like break all the barriers, all the rules. We kind of like just blew it up, right? And then the generation after, the millennials are kind of like the visionaries or the forward thinkers. Like, how can we, so they deconstructed all of this. Like, so how can we start like, you know, almost like the engineers, like, or the architects, like, how can we start building this back up? And then the next generation is like literally the people who are going to put those plans into place. Like, they're the ones who are laying the foundations, who are stepping into those new roles of leadership and activation, right? So that's why for us, for the women who are feeling called to birth these high vibrational beings, it feels really challenging. Because I have clients all the time like, well, my cousin, she knocks them out, right? Like, she gets pregnant. She gets pregnant again. She doesn't even know about astrology. She doesn't even know about womb healing. She doesn't do anything, you know? And this is where like that separation of like me versus them, right? We can't look at it from a space of, you know, what's wrong with me. It's, I always like to tell my clients, you are being tasked with more because, you know, you do have more of a responsibility. Like, your child is going to require more, but that's also because as a society and as a collective, we require more. And your child, not that any other child isn't special, but your child is even like extra special in that sense. So it's going to take, it takes a lot of healing. And I could see with my own two children why I started the process much earlier than even, you know, being conscious about having a child. Because if I would have came in to motherhood with the wounds and the baggage that I had previously, I don't know how I would have made it, honestly, because they're very triggering, these high vibrational beings going into your, and I'm sure like you can relate, like they are rebellious. Light workers are rebellious in nature. Like, they question everything, all the rules, all the structures, you know, they don't conform. Like, I'm here to rebuild. I don't abide by your rules, even as like a parent figure. And also, I don't know if you guys notice this in your children, but they're so sensitive to the environment, to nature. There's like a different connectedness that they experience with nature, a different lens that they view things in from like a heart-centered way. Foods, they're really sensitive to foods, to like the toxicity in our culture or environment. So it's very important as a parent to these higher vibrational beings to meet them at a higher frequency. You know, like the snacks, the foods, the media, the environment, the school, the people that you surround them with. Like, my daughter is very sensitive to people and their energy. For a while, she had a lot of social anxiety because putting her in a place, she's like she's so empathetic. She's always trying to like transmute energy. And if someone's feeling angry, like, she starts showing signs of anger, not understanding where this anger is coming from. But from someone who isn't attuned to those things, right? You're just like, oh, my child is bad, quote unquote. My child just constantly misbehaves. And how many of us have been parented in that way of like, oh, she doesn't know how to act, right? Like, oh, you don't talk out of turn. Like, you sit in the corner and you be a good girl. It's easy for us to think like, my child is like dysfunctional versus what is my child trying to tell me or show me in this particular moment? Like, what is affecting their energy or their vibration right now? Like, what is the surrounding? And I think that's why a lot of like, you know, school, is like hard for a lot of these children. And that's why we're seeing a lot of homeschooling, a lot of these co-ops popping up, because school as a structure is so freaking outdated. Education. And but what do? We make them conform, take the test, We make them participate in these old, outdated things that they don't understand and that really don't fit them. So as a parent, you have to be willing to look from a lens of how can I guide them? How can I provide for them? What is this child trying to tell me or show me about their environment that isn't aligning with their particular gifts or uniqueness? And how can I shift that? How can I challenge and question, you know, knowing that you don't have to participate in the same cycles as everyone else or that you have before?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say? I love this so much. And I'm going to share, because Lauren and I have, we chat on the pod, off the pod, voice note and everything. And a theme for the past like year or so, Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, has been my daughter and this and the system and school and what I want to do. And I know that I get super emotional about it because I don't know, sometimes you just get this feeling like, I don't know if she's meant for that.
Yeah.
But you have all that background of, well, you know, I went to public school, I did this and I turned out fine and it's okay. And it's this and it's that. And you speaking to this, you know, it really makes sense. And it, okay, let me take a second because I'm getting very emotional because there's been so much like angst around this and me wanting to put her in the best environment that's going to allow her to shine her light when she gets older and not have to work through all of the stuff that I did. And so you speaking to that, letting us know, like, and also too, I wanted to say, like, we're talking about our children, also knowing that we all still have our own purpose. And sometimes our purpose is to raise our children, but a lot of us too have a purpose outside of that. And I think when maybe these spirit babies come through or they pick us, you know, our purposes do kind of align probably because I might make decisions for myself and what I want to do and where I'm how I'm trying to express what it is I'm meant to, but that should also align with, you know, my children as well and how I'm going to bring them up and what they're going to do. So it's like this full circle moment for me because I'm like, I see why there's so much just anxiety for me about doing the right thing by her. And because I know that she's meant for greatness and I know that she's meant for more and not in just this like offhanded way. Like I do feel this shift that you spoke of, you know, when I first came into spirituality years ago, people would say that, oh, it's happening. The time is now and things are happening. And I'm sitting here like, well, I don't feel it. I don't know what's going on. But you know, when you get into the work and you do the healing, like you can feel this shift. And like when you're out in society around people who also feel the same way, you know, you feel this. You feel that these parents are also on the same track, wanting to do things differently because we know what we've done before has not been exactly what was needed. It was needed for us because we needed to have that happen. But now we know what not to do. I absolutely loved everything you said. Thank you. I'm going to chew on a lot of that.
if I could offer this perspective really quickly, it's something that like dawned on me like a few weeks ago. But as parents, we feel so much like this is a child, like I'm responsible for this child. I have to make decisions for this child. And we put a lot of that pressure on us. But in doing this work, I realize like these children are just as responsible for us as we are for them. They are older souls. They have a calling, a vision. They're very visionary. So also it takes us being like, okay, what is this child here to show me? Because they're really responsible for us. And they're like, if we would just take the time to listen and acknowledge that rather than perpetuate the cycle of, oh, you're just a child. Oh, you don't know anything, right? Like let's like take a step back from that. Because if we in ourselves know, like if we were children who were able to like unleash our intuition and forward think and be visionaries, like what would have shifted for us in our lives if that was activated from the very beginning of our childhood? So when I look at my daughter, I'm not from a lens of I know better than you because I've been here longer, or I look at her like, oh, what is she trying to teach me? What is she trying to show me? Because she knows something I don't know. You know, like, and that's kind of what I lead with of she also knows what's best for her and what's best for me. So how can we work together? It's not just me being like, oh, this is what we're doing because I know what's best for you. But listening to her and saying like honoring her individuality and her intuition and how she feels about things and having a conversation. And she's only four, but you would never know it. I'm like four going to 14.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
But if we could parent from that, like if our parents did that to us, oh my gosh, I wouldn't be here at 36, like reparenting myself. I would have been like, oh man, I wouldn't have, like so much would have changed in my life. There's so many decisions I wouldn't have made. But you know, again, perspective, and this is my path, and this is, but I always think of that with my daughter too, of like, what is she trying to show me? What is she trying to like lead me into? And what is, how can I honor her individual needs and listen to what she's telling me? Because she does know. She knows more. Like our kids know a lot. We just have to give them the space to express it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. Like collectively, there's definitely this movement now toward gentle parenting and toward like child-led mm-hmm. parenting. And yes, like we're tasked with keeping them safe and teaching them how to live in these bodies and on this planet and whatnot. But yes, they're coming mm-hmm. in with so much to teach us that allows space for them to explore who they are and their purpose rather than like trying to fit them into this mold, which is something we've all been like deconstructing or deprogramming from ourselves. Rashida was saying we've been talking about all of this a lot. Yes, we have for sure over the last year. So I wanted to share part of my own story a little bit, which is, I had my daughter a little bit later on. I had her at 36. And, you know, I had a lot of spiritual and personal work that I had been working through before then, so that I felt like really prepared on an emotional level to let her through. We've had such a deep connection since preconception. Like she's been knocking at my door mm-hmm. for a long time. And it was interesting how she did affect my dharma, because like even before we conceived her, I was like changing my work so that I'm not having to be in mm-hmm. person so much, and I'm delegating things out. And then you know, we conceived her in March 2020. So like right as the world was shutting down. And, you know, as much as I hated that timing, because I thought I had like everything kind of like all my ducks in a row, so to speak, in bringing her through. And obviously that changed everything. But it also had this beautiful effect too of enabling this different lifestyle I have now. And I find it interesting that like, I would have never thought of home birth 10 years ago or homeschooling, but those are absolutely things I thought about and planned even before we conceived her. And I do think it's like that her soul coming through and saying like, hey, this is what I need. And this is what the world needs in this moment. So I just love this conversation. And I love that I can apply it to my life. And I will say to anyone listening, like she was whispering to me for a long time and I was not. I don't want to say able to hear it. I was hearing it, but like, no. This is not the time. I don't want kids, like blah, blah, blah. But when I finally listened, I think it was absolutely the best thing I've ever done. And I feel that way with intuition, with spirit babies. And I'll just say very personally right now, I have another one knocking at my door persistently. And I'm just trying to work on my husband now. I'm like, I get it. I'm like, go talk to that guy. You don't have to convince me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do think as the vessels that they're going to come through, that they probably communicate a little bit more with us, or at least that's my intuitive feeling. Do you feel like fathers have spirit babies floating around them?
They do, you know, and it's interesting because I'll have clients who the baby is more connected or contracted to the father than the mother. But it's exactly that. The thing with spirit babies, you have to really be open and receptive. So, you know, I do have dads. There's this new generation of father that I really want to applaud, though. You know, we talk a lot about the mom side and all the work that the mom does, but there's a lot of dads who are really healing toxic masculinity and stepping into a space of nonconformity, like, you know, when it comes to all of those like gender roles and, you know, the masculine and stuff, who are very intuitive and who are willing to do the work and meet their partners at that level of expectation, and who intuitively feel like there's a child around them. And it's been such a blessing and so refreshing to see. And I'm just like, wow, this is a really special time. It really is. And if that's not your partner, don't worry and don't judge, you know, like everyone's intuition is in a different space and will be receiving messages in a different way. But yeah, there are a lot of messages for the dads sometimes that are like, you know, dad's history. He's the one who's kind of energetically blocking the baby from coming through. Like there's very deep issues or traumas that need to be resolved on his end. And I do think that it's, you know, we all have the partners that we kind of like need to have too. So it's a really beautiful thing to see the women coming through for spirit baby readings, maybe thinking it's something that they did or didn't do. And then hearing that, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Like it's a partnership, you know? And I will say a lot of the commonalities in spirit baby readings, like you were saying, Lauren, is, you know, the spirit babies in that checklist theme, like they're really looking for stability in your career. Is this the right career? Are you on the right like path? Does it feel aligned like with how I'm going to be coming through? Do you feel comfortable in your body? How is your emotional, mental, physical state? Are you doing healing modalities or practices that are nourishing your body? You know, lifestyle, of course. Sometimes it's having a detox. Sometimes it's because, you know, we intuitively know that we should be doing these things, but then we don't do it because we're human. And then we're like, oh, okay, yeah. Like I just needed to be reminded of these things. Like, are you moving your body? You know, sometimes it's that ancestral stuff, like unresolved issues with your mom or your dad that could be very triggering coming into parenthood. So it's usually like the ancestral, the societal, the feminine stuff, and then the practical things, like how are you actually preparing your mind, body, and spirit for this baby and for parenthood? But yeah, with the fathers, a lot of the time it's the ancestral or the emotional connection. Sometimes fathers don't feel like they are ready to provide for a family. So it's honestly about honoring that and having those conversations and feeling safe with your partner to be able to do that.
Yeah, I really like you bringing up the other side of the equation. And you're right. We do, I think, forget that portion of it. And there are a lot of fathers who are coming through wanting to create and also believe in this change that we are going through and that we are seeing. I think it's one of the best things to just remember, you know, remember that side of the equation, honor that side of the equation and our partners. But it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. I feel like it's a lot to think about, to work through. But when you think about the responsibility, why shouldn't it be a lot? You know, why shouldn't we take the time? Why shouldn't we do the work? I really, really loved everything you had to say. I still didn't think of my question. I might shoot you something later and be like, no, what was this again? And even like how you talked about the different awakenings, I really feel that as well. And I think, because I was gonna say, you can apply that to like anyone. Yeah. I think yeah, so much to think about. I really enjoyed this conversation, and it definitely goes hand in hand with the episode that Lauren talked about. I don't remember the episode number, but it was Soulful Parenting with LaToya, where we talked about Children of the New Earth and, you know, the shift to being a more conscious parent and what that looks like. And I think that goes, you know, hand in hand with this conversation. And how can our listeners you know, or what would you say, how would they know that getting a reading from you is like the right thing to do if they're, or how they're feeling called to move in that step towards?
I would definitely say, you know, check out my website, ChristineMcGlenchey.com. I offer spirit baby readings, but also soul care sessions, which are more about purpose. And if you're already a mom or and want, you know, to have a conversation around what you're feeling or experiencing with your child, I have those available. A lot of my clients come to me because, you know, like I always, life mirrors our reality, right? So whenever I had a reading, it was because I was feeling stuck or confused or at a crossroad. And that's where I find a lot of my clients, at a transition point, at a crossroad. You know, I have clients also who don't have a partner, who are wanting to call in a partner because they know that they want to have a family in the future. So some of my clients book a soul care session or a spirit baby reading to look into, like, how can I start healing into partnership? How can I start calling that partner in energetically and aligning myself? So if you feel like you're at a crossroad, at a transition point, in a really deep transformative space of rebirth or even death, I think, you know, one thing women kind of find challenging is asking for help and asking for support. I can't even tell you how many times I get on a session with a client and they're like crying and they're apologizing. And I'm like, please take a breath and don't apologize. Like, this is what spaces like this are for. But so many of us feel like we have to weather the storm alone, that we're on a freaking sailboat or an island, right? And that is not the way. Everything in my path has shown me I need a village. I need a community. I need other healers. I need other mentors. I can't. We're not made to do any of this alone. And so I really want to encourage all of us and whoever is listening, you don't have to be the strong, independent woman that society or your family told you you have to be. To move forward, we're in this together. Every session I do, every conversation I have heals me. I do this work for me and for you and for us, you know? And so, yeah, I would just invite anyone who feels called to, no matter what stage you're in of your journey, to just seek support and make sure that, like, wow, it feels good in your body to do so. You know, like, this feels really good. This feels like something that I need to do, and not like judge it or criticize. Cause how many of times have we seen that too? Like, I want to do this, but then it's like, do I really need to do this? Like, can I just do this by myself? Like, how many times do we talk things ourselves out of things? And so I always say, like, in intuition, your intuition is always that first small little voice that tells you to do something. And then your ego is the one that talks you out of doing the thing that you said you wanted to do.
Which is so true. And a lot of us, you know, we have different ways of responding, but a lot of us have like that sacral response. And when we immediately feel that, we're supposed to go with it. But you're right. That ego is like, nah,
let's not.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I loved everything you said. I feel so good in my body. Talk about how do you feel in your body? I feel so good and nourished from our conversation. And this like internal dialogue and also external with Lauren that I've been having around my own children and what I want things to look like for me. Yes, I really appreciate that. Is there anything else you want to let our listeners know?
Just to, you know, again, if you want to continue the conversation, if you're curious about spirit babies, I have a lot of free resources. I have a spirit baby meditation. I have a quiz about limiting beliefs and what limiting belief could possibly be holding you back. So you could check all of that stuff out on Instagram and on my website, ChristineMcGlenchey.com. And my Instagram is Christine_McGlenchey.
Amazing. Well, we do have one more question for you before we wrap up. Christine, will you be our bestie?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Put me in a group chat.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and everything that you've learned since making the choice to choose you. Lauren, thank you so much for being here and getting us all grounded and set up for this work that we do every week. And listeners, we love the fact that you're here and that you're also doing the work with us. All right, besties, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.